Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Brother Skinner's out of town, and he's up in a cold country.
Yeah.
Colorado, and go up for a funeral, and stayed over this weekend to preach up there. So, it's him, and some are out here, and some are out there, and I'm sure they'll let us know later what's going on in their life. But God is so good. I want to talk this morning a little bit about our beliefs. I'm probably going to hear it again. It's way too long to not turn into a series, but just something that's kind of been moving in my spirit and heart this morning. Are your beliefs preferences or convictions? Are your beliefs preferences or conviction? There is a difference.
Yes.
So much so that you'll see later on, people have went to court, and it's obviously over religious freedoms and religious liberties and things of that nature. But the court has determined what a preference is and what a conviction is. And so, we're going to talk about that. We want the things that are convictions to be unmovable.
Right.
A conviction is something that you hold dear and you will not change. A very, very sobering thing is the fact that there's been people that went to my father's church that after he died, a lot of things that were convictions to him was a preference to them.
Right.
Because after he passed and died, years and years later, you would see them and see things, and they were different. They looked different. There's things that they picked up that my dad held as true convictions that were worldly things that God delivered him from. My dad got the Holy Ghost under a woman preacher. And it's kind of a miracle. Anytime anybody gets the Holy Ghost, it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. But my dad began to study that. And he studied it all throughout Scripture. And my dad held the conviction that women could not preach to men.
Right.
It wasn't a preference. It was conviction. We were from Arkansas, northeast Arkansas, about 30 miles from Missouri. And he's got a lot of Missouri in him. It's called a Missouri mule. And when he held something as truth and a conviction, it never changed in him. And it's also called the show me state. Mm-hmm. And so when preachers would talk about women preachers and, well, God can use anything and start making all of this up and all this stuff, my dad would open his Bible up and say, show me one.
Yeah.
That don't mean a woman can't preach. It means she can't preach to men.
Right.
A woman can teach lady conferences. She can preach to ladies. My dad wouldn't allow a woman to teach a Sunday school class for the teenagers. Because when the boys got 13 and 14, he said they're transitioning to men. And Apostle Paul said, for a woman not to usher authority over a man. And when you're here, you're an authority. When you say something, I have a hard time racing back it up and trying to convince people otherwise. Because you're in a place of authority. That's why we're very, very careful who we let behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
One of my great friends, a pastor nearby, has won a bunch of Trinitarians. Brother Thomas Hunt was one of them. He's won a bunch of Trinitarians to the Lord. Sometimes I'm a little envious of that. But he allows Trinitarians to preach behind his pulpit. I never have. You see, it's not a preference, it's a conviction. My father never did. He wanted to be careful. He would, any preacher that come into the church, he would allow to stand up and testify in the pew. Not behind the pulpit. He was very careful who he let sing and play instruments and teach Sunday school classes. Why? Because that is the leadership of the church.
Right.
What are your convictions and what are your preferences? Is baptism in Jesus' name a preference to you or is it a conviction? You see, we talked about a fellow minister that had joined with us for a while. To him it was a preference. To me, it's not a preference. It's a conviction. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So, and there's a lot of different areas. Holiness. You have to set some things in your mind that are not a preference, they're a conviction. There are things that you hold dear that you will not wear out of your house if they're for bed clothing alone. I've seen a lot of pastor friends and preacher friends and things of that nature, and their babies would run around in shorts. We never was allowed to wear short pants. So I told my wife when we had our babies, don't buy them short pants. Don't buy your daughter a mini skirt when she's 2 years old if you don't want to wear it when she's 20. Because somebody's going to snap a picture somewhere, and they're going to see that. So you need to train the child up in the way it should go. If you don't want your kids to drink, don't drink in front of them. And don't let people in your house drink in front of them. Hello? Set that standard and set it well. This is our home. Maybe, well, I see Grandpa, Grandma, or whatever, Uncle Ann, or whatever. Well, you know, we was at a birthday party. I don't allow that in my house. And I mean, there were some birthday parties that I went to once or twice, and I quit. Just wouldn't go back anymore. You know why? Because I didn't want my kids around a bunch of people that was drinking. For safety reasons, for one, and for the sake of what is going on there, number two. There were some preachers that I would fellowship with for a while, and after a few years, I had done a lot. A few things bother me here. So I can't go back and fellowship them anymore. Their boys are not quite looking like boys over there anymore. I'm worried. I don't want that spirit to get on my son. And some of their girls are acting, you know, there's a church and, well, I can take you to it. And it's run by women. And you know what they've produced? Most every one of their girls is real tough acting. And they got more women preachers than they do men. Matter of fact, when the elder died off, they ain't got no men preachers anymore. They promoted that situation and promoted that thing. And I'm not against them. I'm not against anybody. Matter of fact, I'm for everybody. But I want to hang around folks that are for God and live for God and live right and act right and talk right, because I want my kids to see that and say, that's who Daddy chooses to hang around with.
Right. Right.
People that live right.
Yeah.
Well, I can't hang with some people. Well, you know what? You make up your mind what you want your kids to see. Because if you want God to hear and you hang around sinner folk all the time, you ain't going to raise God to hear. They're going to say, well, that's Daddy's best friend. And his best friend does this, that, and the other. And their kids do. Mama, why can't we do that? Why can't we wear a little makeup and paint our fingernails? Why don't we go to a movie house? Is it a conviction? Or is it a preference? Psalms 111, verse 10. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. And I'll let you sit down after that passage because I've got quite a bit more there. Psalms 111 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That fear means reverence. Somebody say reverence. That's not I'm scared to death of God fear. That's I revere God. I trust God. And a good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. You may be seated. A good understanding. You know what that word understanding means there? I love to take these words and look at them in the Greek because, man, they mean so much different than what our words do nowadays. And the truth is our words have changed a lot as well. In 100 years or so, I'm not 100 years old. I'm not fine sometimes. My daughter says something. I said, whoa, what are you saying? What happened there? And they was making out. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. What did you say? And she knew the response to me was different than what she thought it was. And she said, well, Dad, what is making out to you? I said, well, making out to us was doing the marriage relationship. You know, that's what we call that making out. Oh, Dad, it don't mean that anymore. What does it mean now? Oh, they was hugging and kissing. Okay. Glad I know that. Now I feel a little better about the situation. You know. But change, terms change. And so, I like to go back and hit the original there. The original of a good understanding, that just means success. So what he's saying is those that have that good reverence for the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And when you have good success, when you do His commandments, and His praise will endure forever. So if you do what God tells you to do and do His commandments, you're going to be successful. You know, How it was running such garbage and trash to make it look good to our children, and they've had a lot to do, and a lot of blood's going to be on their hands about messing up our society. But they promoted it, you know, if you're going to be rich and famous and all this stuff, you know, you got to be divorced 2,700 times and sleep with everything that walks. Did you know, even truly today, most millionaires are married to their childhood sweetheart, the wife of their youth, and when they got in high school and whatnot, or fresh out of college, they got married and they stayed together? Now, in Hollywood, you know what? They're like hen's teeth in Hollywood. That just don't happen a whole lot. When you find one, it's really rare. They're promoting things that aren't true and aren't right. Because the Bible is always going to be right. The Bible don't change with time. The world sometimes are a little different in our language than what it was way back then. But it don't change. What it said then, it still changes. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he allowed for holiness and wanted people to look like 100 years ago is still the same thing. Well, there's different ways Americans dress and Chinese dress and this dress, but there's always a difference when you go into that culture of how men and women should look. This craziness. Oh, I knew it was going to get stupid real fast, but not this fast.
Yeah.
When you took away the definition of what a boy and a girl is and a child can choose, I posted a post on Facebook, I think it was Friday or Saturday. Did anybody read that? What did it say?
Gender
is not assigned at birth.
That's right.
Hello? Before sonogram, when you popped out, they said, whoa, it's a boy because it seems something. Or, oh, that's a girl.
Yeah.
That was not the designation that was assigned to it. That just means a doctor said, yeah, that's what it is, because that's what it became when it was conceived, you see. Gender's conceived, and when it's conceived, that's what a baby, when God stamps as boy or girl. We got kids now, actually, and I think it's not even just Kentucky, but in Maine, to where kids are identified as animals. And the school, those kids in school, are putting litter boxes in the school. How crazy are we going to get? Real crazy, real fast. Thank God for our conservative governor. God bless our governor. He said if they're going to identify as a cat or dog and they get unruly, we're going to call the dog down to come get him. And I hope he does. Put a collar on him and put him right in the back of him just like a cat or dog. And when the parents go to school, say no. You're the one that let your child say it was a cat. And when it goes meow and says I'm a kitty, it goes in the back. There's no seat belts back there. Cats don't wear seat belts. Do you feed them cat food at home? Well, that would be inappropriate. It's inappropriate to let them say they're a cat. What a crazy world that we live in. You see? Oh, my dad used to preach about it. I thought, good Lord, Dad, we're never going to see this kind of stuff. I thought it was bad to see two men together. Now you'll see them looking like cats and dogs. It won't be Halloween. Won't be dressed up. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Jesus said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. I've always read this as a child, even as a young man, even as a pastor and preacher. I've always read this and thought, Brother Billy, man, what's going on here, right? Man, it looks familiar. It looks bad. But I looked up that sword. You know what that means? Controversy. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. There's going to be controversy when you stand for truth. If you're looking for peace when you come to God, He'll give you peace, but not the peace that the world calls peace. For I am come to set a man at variance, which means to turn a man, at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's soul shall be there his own house. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Someone said it this way. Said, you know what? We should just really understand. He's mean. You've got to love less. You've got to love your family less than truth. You've got to love your family less than God. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Most people, their family is their most important thing. It's their most important treasure. You know what? You better put God in truth first. Every one of us here, every one of us, at one time in our point in our life, at one time in our one point in our life, has had to make a choice. So the family said, no, that's not how my family does. Me and my children, my wife. No, we don't go to that place. No, we don't do those things. No, we don't talk like that. When you find the truth, the Bible talks about a man that found a treasure in a field, and it says, you know what he does? He went, sold everything he had to buy that treasure. It would be like, you know, I enjoy cars. I've never had a classic car. I've had a little S10 with a 350 kind of pop rod, but you know, it'd be like somebody coming to me and saying, Pastor, Grandpa died and he's got this old car in the barn. And I'd like you to come look at it. I think that he left me some money, I'm going to give this car for you for tithes. And I'd say, well, what kind of car is it? Well, it's a 1968 VW, called junkyard. That's not interesting. Don't know how to work on VWs? Well, no, Pastor, it's a 1968 Chevelle. I'll be right there.
That's right.
And you may go in and find rust spots and rust holes. You may go in and find dust all over this car, and it may not cream. The motor may be locked up and froze on it, but you look on the side of that engine and see a number that's stamped on that motor, Brother Billy, and you look on the side of the VIN plate and you see a number it's stamped, and when that number on the motor matches that number on the VIN plate, and you look at the transmission and you see that number matches, you have a 1968 Chevelle with matching numbers.
Yeah.
And now, going for a piece of junk, maybe with neat fenders and rusting, it may be a rust bucket. But now it's worth about $20,000 because it's matching numbers. And you find, if you ever find a one of one, that means you look at it and it's an automatic. Guys back then on the stick shift. And you find a white convertible top on a white car and white interior. That's rare. Nobody wanted that. They wanted red and white. But you find something that's very, very special. That car may now be worth $100,000. You know what I do? I say, where's Kyle? Thank you for your love offering. God's going to bless you. Woo! And I'm going to call a tow truck to come and say, be careful with this. This is rare. And I'm going to call somebody else and I'm going to sell it. I'm not even going to touch it. I ain't got time to work on the old car. And I'm going to sell it for a high price. You know, because it's a valued treasure. Some of those cars, I was born in 68, by the way, so I kind of like 68. Some of those cars, Brother Billy, have sold for millions, you know, $2 and $3 million. You know what? This truth we have, it's so precious. When you walk into a church and you hear truth and you understand truth, you better understand you have a priceless treasure. It's like a treasure hidden in a field, Brother Billy. I would not sacrifice truth for my family, for my friends, for my mother, for my brother, for my children, for anybody.
Yes.
I love truth.
Yes.
It's not just preferences. It's convictions. False teachers in 1 Timothy 6 and 6. 1 Timothy 6 and 6, 4 will start. We'll go down and read verse 11. But godliness, everybody say godliness.
Godliness.
With contentment is great gain.
Yep.
Now I could stop there and probably, I figure I could probably go a good 30, 45 minutes on just that one scripture, Brother Billy. Finding an acceptance of yourself. And how God sees you. That I'm doing the best I can do. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can do. And I'm contented. Because God accepts me. And God accepts him. See, the Bible never talks about you accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Just talking about him accepting you. He just don't accept anything.
Right.
He's kind of like my wife. She's real big. And if you got a wife like that, thank God for that. She don't tolerate anything. God's kind of picky and choosy and left a roadmap on what he likes. Hello?
Amen.
But godliness with contentment, there's a good balance to understanding God loves us and cares about us, and I'm doing the best I can do. Some of you are not where I am, and there are some people. There'll be one of them preaching here Wednesday night. Brother, I feel like he's kind of up here. Man, he's an old elder. He's 70-some-odd years old, not in his 80s. He preached me under the table. That man can preach, and he preaches hard. Elder Van Slack's going to be here Wednesday night. What a preacher!
Yeah.
But when I see him, it just looks like to me that his cologne is holiness with the Lord. He's lived for God, lost a wife, married Sister Thrasher after she had lost her husband. Godly people. I've never heard him say anything. Not nasty words. I'm talking about off color. I've never heard him make a small remark to his wife. Whoo, see, I'm a long ways down in that ladder. Boy, howdy. Godliness with contentment.
Amen.
We're not trying to impress nobody. We're just trying to be acceptable and to the Lord.
Amen.
Hope you're not trying to live on my standard, because I may die before you. Hope you're getting some convictions and you're getting some standards.
Amen.
You're getting some things that you hold. For we brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and as certain we can carry nothing out.
Mm-hmm.
And having food and raiment, let us be where we're content. But they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, somebody say the love of money.
Love.
He didn't say money.
No.
He said love. There's a difference. Love of money. The love of money. Somebody say love of money.
Love of money.
Is the root of all evil. Think of that. Of how many people that you've seen get all the money and all of a sudden they couldn't come to church. I've never told anybody not to work on Sunday to get overtime. I used to. But you know what I did? I'd slot the clock at 12:01 midnight on Saturday night. And work 6 or 7 hours and come home at 7 o'clock and lay down for 2 hours and get up and get ready for church and go to Sunday school and make sure I was awake and drink some coffee or whatever at church and then go home and go back to bed.
Right.
Still getting that overtime, but I still make 2 services, Sunday morning and Sunday night. So money to get a hold of. My son said, Dad, I used to make double time on Sunday. I said, man, I love to work on Christmas when it was on a Sunday. I got double time and a half. Some get triple time, whatever. But don't let that control you. I've seen people move their families and lose out with God because they was going to a better job, another city, or another place. Oh, be careful. But some have coveted after. Some have said money.
Amen.
They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this verse 11 and 12, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Godliness. Faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight. Lay a hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now remember here, there's two different words for fight there. The first one comes from the Greek word G75, which literally means, you know, that fight there is the struggle. First fight is a struggle. The second fight means conflict. So what it's actually saying is you've got to understand you've got to struggle in the good conflict. There are some people that struggle when it comes to marital strife over the craziest little things. But when it comes to holiness and standard in the home, they won't fight for nothing. Well, maybe I guess whatever you want to do. Going to church all of our lives, there was some children that mama would go to church and take the kids to church, one of the spouses. They got a little older, and the kids didn't want to go. Daddy would stand up and say, ain't got to go to church. They don't want to. I've seen some parents lose that job. However, there was an individual that we grew up with, and she said, let me tell you something. As long as I'm their mama, they're going to go to church every service. I don't care if they're 70 and I'm 90 living in my house. He said, they ain't got to go.
She said, well, call someplace and get me an apartment because I'm going to go pack my bags because I'm leaving you. And we'll have to fight over custody. But when they're in my apartment and I get custody, they're going to go to church. And when they live in your old hell hole, your sinful home, then you can do what you want to do. But as long as I'm in this house, I'm not trying to fight and be mean and ugly. This is a stance. It's not just a preference. It's a conviction.
Right.
You see, she come out of the hell holes. She come out of the way when they go to church. And when she found the treasure of truth and found God, she said, you know what? This is the best thing I ever had.
Right.
Raised her children in church. Yeah. Three kids, two of them there in church. One of them's backslid. I start to say 2 out of 3 is bad for the video, but I hate the odds. I want 3 out of 3, 4 out of 4, 1 out of 1, 10 out of 10, whatever I got. One more to live for God. But they made a stand. There was things I could think of growing up with my father. Just, you know, he tried to be likable and kind and tried to give in all he could to my mom, but there were some things he would stand on. You know, can't give them that. When we became instrument players, we kind of grew up with getting instrument learning and whatnot. Mama said, boys, y'all got to wear a suit to church. Went to Dad. Dad, now you know I ain't got no suits. And she's putting rules on us and standards. She's trying to be Pharisees and all this. You know, Dad. He said, all right, boys, I'll tell you. Tell you what you do. We'll give you some white shirts. Still wear my Levi's, Dad. Sure enough. Levi's and cowboy boots was a thing. You wear a white shirt. So we'd go to church and roll up them sleeves about right here, as long as it was down past the elbow. White shirts and Levi jeans and boots, that's all we wore to church. He was saying, you know what, I'm glad y'all play an instrument. You probably ain't going to wear a suit and tie. So we'll settle with a white shirt. Try to make concessions. Or you can make concessions on, but there's some things we cannot make concession on. You as parents are going to have to fight. Your team is living in a crazy world.
Mm-hmm.
People try to say all the time, oh, it's been bad all the time. No, it ain't. It's been sin, but it wasn't in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The bar room was a place that we never went to growing up.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Dirty books wasn't something that was at our home. It's on your phone that you get your kids, and it's easy access. You better set some parental guidelines on there and be careful. Don't let your kids at 11, 12 years old have internet access unfettered. Please don't do that. Well, Mom, it's the only thing on there, I can't see nothing. Well, fine, we'll just have to get rid of your phone, baby. Because I'm going to set a preference for PG-13. Good Lord, what that is nowadays.
G's bad.
Well, G's bad nowadays.
Well, you can have all of some preferences on it, or you can't have it.
The world is so accessible to them. Oh, craziness.
Yeah.
Before becoming the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, whose integrity now, hundreds of years later, is legendary, made a speech. He went to his friends when he had sat down with the secretary and she wrote the speech, and he said, I want y'all to see this speech. They read it, and his friend said, there's no way I'd come up with that speech. There's no way I'd get before Congress and say that speech. You've lost your mind. Back then, and we was a conservative country back then. Lord, because of that speech, he lost the 1858 Senate, the election. He lost it. But he said, if it is decreed that I go down because of this speech, let me go down linked to the truth. If I have to die, Brother Billy, at other people's swords of their mouth, let me die linked to truth. Let me die because people think I preach too hard and I'm holding a standard that's, oh, it's just too hard. I'm not talking about harsh. I don't try to be harsh to nobody. But some people, when they leave, oh, it's holding the standard is just too hard. The hemp fields and other people and groups I can name had Pentecostal backgrounds. You can look at them back in the 50s and their hair was up in buns and they looked so much holiness. We went, my wife likes concerts. We went to her a certain group over to church Sunday night a few weeks ago, and Brother Hunt and likes to go, and so, you know, we go. And
And I looked around the church. As elder men, Brother Billy had a hat on. Now, he did pull it off from the singing start.
Young boy with son-in-law's hat on, he's a minister of music. I met him before he did. But their ladies didn't look like ladies.
You know what I want to do sometimes? I want to walk into these churches. This is just me. I will do this, okay? But I sure think of it sometimes. And I want to give you a skirt on it. And walk in there. And go, hey, how you doing? I'm Pastor So-and-so. Call me Charlene today. Because I felt like dressing like a woman.
Listen, there's going to be a difference. Why has it become so acceptable in our society for a woman to wear pants but a man can't wear a skirt?
That's starting to become accessible. Isn't it scary? Our kids still know the difference. And they'll look and go, something's wrong with that. Perhaps. What's going on? Shh. It didn't look right.
That's because it wasn't right. But we don't say anything. Right. We just go on to our thing. We're in Walmart. They accept anything.
Perhaps I look like a man.
Shh.
Walk outside and say, it sure was. How do you know?
Because I just know.
Things that
going crazy.
But Brother Billy, not that I've been proud of people to leave and do whatever else they've done, but you know, when they come back, somebody says, well, the standard was just too high for me. I look and I say, Lord, what are they going to do when they face you on that day?
Yes.
When they think because I preach a certain standard that it's too much and I've tried to love them, and I don't preach a standard to babies.
People's come to church for years. And they're like, well, I don't know. Boss, God, you need to get rid of that. You're going, God, go to hell. I had preachers when I was growing up that would do that to me. Someone was real crazy. If a woman's high heels was too high, they'd say, you don't take them off. You can't wear them in our church. Went to a church one time and our girls had some lines in their pantyhose. At the church, my wife said, let me forget, we don't wear these around here anymore. I said, what happened? I'll talk to you later.
I was so liberal. I went in there and had a colored shirt on, boys. It wasn't pink or nothing, but maybe blue.
My wife at that said, why do you white shirt and black pants? They all wore white and black. Women, all of them were white and black. All the men wore white shirt and black pants and a black suit jacket. And they had church and they were good people. But that pastor never one time come and told me, but Texter, I like you a whole lot better if you dress and look like me. He never did. He showed me love. Mm-hmm. And I loved him. So much so they took off a day for his funeral and all that stuff and went down there, all the expense and everything. You know why? Because he showed love. And I liked the man and I liked his standard that he wasn't going to change it for me. But he wasn't going to blast me out of the water and say, you're just a young kid and you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get... No, that wasn't the way he was. I want to love you.
If we're going to go down, let's go down on the ship of truth. Now, I read the Bible, it's not going to go down. But Billy, sometimes it looks like she's going through some wild new storm, but she's not going down.
We all admire men and women of conviction. We have an innate, escapable awareness that we should stand for something, no matter what the cost. To cover our own inner poverty, though, we often sometimes scornfully laugh at those, some people do, that have risked much for the sake of their integrity. I think of Roy Moore. Lost his job in the courthouse because he would take down the Ten Commandments. Went all the way to the Supreme Court and they said, remove him. He said, I'm not going to remove him. They said, jail time's coming. He said, I'm not going to take him down. I don't care what you do to me. You know what they had to do? They had to beat him from office and somebody else come and took him down. But he stood by his guns. He was not going to take him down. Not the only one, other people. There was a guy who had a bakery.
Yeah.
Y'all heard that story?
Yeah.
Where was it at? Was it Colorado?
I think so.
I thought it was Colorado. Had a bakery. Good guy, Christian guy. A gay or a lesbian couple come in and said, "We want a wedding cake." He talked to them a little bit. Say, "Well, what's the cake for? What's for our wedding?" "Oh, y'all's wedding. Y'all getting married? Y'all getting married?" He said, "Well, y'all go down the road. I'm not going to make that cake for you." They spent millions of dollars in the leftist movement, the gay movement, spent millions of dollars. That man lost everything he had, went all the way up to the Supreme Court. They said, "You'll make a cake or you'll no longer be a baker." He said, "I just laid up my apron."
Yeah.
He said, "Because I will go to jail and I will die for what I believe is my religious conviction. That is my business. And I will never make a cake for a same-sex couple." He said, "By the way, there's 4 or 5 bakeries down the road. I told them nicely, go down there with people. Take your money." "No, no, no, the people. Mm-hmm. You're going to make us a cake or we'll shut you down." And they shut him down. You see, that's a conviction. That man lost his house for the building. Put his family through all kinds of things. Spent every dollar he could for lawyers until Christian Law Association in Florida got a hold of it. And no one began to fight for it. But he lost something he worked all his life for. He loved to bake. Come to Florida, open up a bake, is what I say. Our governor stand behind. Convictions. Conviction. But conviction is essentially to faithfully living, character building, sanctification, loyalty, integrity, and faithfulness to God. Whether we compromise and sin is directly tied to the strength of our convictions. You see, we don't think about it sometimes, but really, 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 what do you... Are we talking to the girl that came this morning? Well, them 2 girls. I told them, when you go look for your boyfriend, you find you one in church, and one that's praying. I said, it used to be if you found one that was raised in church, it was kind of a good deal, but we've had some of that go bad. I said, I'd rather have one that just started, been there a few years, when they're praying hard and their heart's right, than the one that's raised all their life and their heart's bad. Thing is, we don't know the heart. That's why you got to pray and fast a little bit. And I said, if they don't have no job, you probably want to run. I've been working this day I was born. There's a news article. My mom got a news article of me. I was 4 or 5 years old, and I had the old lawnmower in Arkansas, Brother Billy, in the path of Arkansas. And I pushed the lawnmower. I couldn't crank the thing, but I was pushing that thing down the low bar, you know. And I run in the ditch, Sister Skinner. I had the tongue out. I was pushing, and a news reporter went by. Back then, they didn't have little cameras. "Hey," went to my mom, said, "can you sign on this? I'm going to take a picture of your boy down that ditch with that lawnmower. He's 4 years old. Is that okay?" She said, "Well, sure, my boy's going to be in the newspaper." She had the article for years. She'd show it to me. I was in the ditch. See, I've been working this time with me, how to grasshopper. I'd mow grass. I'd do anything in the neighborhood until I could get a real job. But you know what? I had the mongoose bicycles. I had the Levi's. I wonder what they were about the Levi's for me. I don't remember what they was back then. Cheap Wranglers at Walmart. Nike shoes. Ha! We ain't paid no $10 for tennis shoes. You lost your mind? You can get them for $2 at Walmart. You Goodwill. Get someone that works and work hard. We often think that strength of conviction comes to the fore only when people are on the line. You know, every day is strength and conviction. Every day you live your convictions out. Every day you make up your mind. On Wednesday you make up your mind. I've got a conviction. I go to church and don't stay home. It's not a preference, Brother Billy. It's a conviction. I hope it's that way for you. Have a flat tire. Might as well go back home. No, I'll walk to church. Well, you ain't going to be there at 11 o'clock at night. At least you're going to get there. Oh, you can call somebody. They'll get you a ride. Perhaps, even when our eternal salvation is at stake, that's when people think, oh, they've got convictions now. No, they had them all along. Now is just the time that you can see what they stood for.
Think it's like this. We make a serious mistake. Strength of conviction is really in the day-to-day exercise and things that we do. That determines whether we will have the conviction necessary when all may truly be on the line. What do you do behind the scenes? What do you do at home? What do you do in your own house raising your own children? Your kids are telling you. Kids sometimes talk about Sister Natalie. They say, "Dad, she's something else." But I can tell you what, Mom and Dad has a little squabble. She's going to tell somebody about it. Yes, sir. When she knows it, boom, she's like Patrick coming right out. Boom, 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 boom. If you throw a cousin fit, she's going to tell somebody about it. I'll whoop you when you get home if you tell a preacher. No, I would never do that, Dad. Since you get to church, you know what Dad said? We used to say a song when we were kids, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say." They see the real you. Oh, I've seen people go home and talk about preaching. They didn't think we knew. And then years later, when their kids really was making life-altering decisions in Brother Billy, you know what they did? They erred on the side of their feelings. Because somebody all their life has taught them to distrust the preacher. Right. You know why our jail rate is so high? Because people haven't taught their children respect,
listen.
I was taught to respect them. Out of the position. Have we met some bad ones? Sure we have. I've met a few bad preachers too, but I don't treat all preachers like they're all bad because I've met a few bad ones. Out of the position. You have to set the standard. Oh, the suicide rate is so high in the gay and lesbian community because there's such pressure among them. 44%. It has nothing to do with the society. It's societal pressure. You know what the suicide rate is amongst the blacks community? And they suffered more persecution really than anybody besides the Indians for all these years. 4%. And they're trying to push the scars down our throats. That, oh, they're more happy when, you know, a little boy, if he feels like a girl today, he just wants to be a girl. No. You're setting them up for trouble. Because you don't have no backbone and convictions to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Both in the United States and the world, there are certain events that bring Christians and Christianity more intensely under the magnifying glass of the official government scrutiny, especially in our crazy world today. And this scrutiny intensifies, and as it intensifies, we may have our convictions severely tested. It was tested in 2020. Certain areas of our beliefs. Time may not be far off when we see it come knocking on the door a little bit more. Yeah. A preacher, young preacher, much younger than me, took a little offense to something I said there and then about going to church. That's fine, whatever you believe, that's okay. I wasn't trying to start controversy. I just made a statement. The church is a conviction of mine. And I will go to church until they put the handcuffs behind my arms and put me in jail. And you know what I'm going to do there, Brother Billy? I'm going to have me some church there. I don't need a keyboard to sing. I don't need my Bible to preach.
That's how you know if you got it in here, huh?
Yeah. I study my messages because I try to keep an outline, follow an outline. But, boy, that's why you learn scriptures when you little, because they can come to your mind, and I may not know where they're found. I thank God for Google, but I can tell you word for word what it says. Most of the time, most every one of them, especially the important ones. You start misquoting, I go, oh, wait a minute. That, what Bible are you reading out of? Because mine don't say that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, where's that found at? That's not John 8:32 that we're going to put on the church sign, the last part of it. The King James Version says the truth shall make you free. Well, it's just words. Oh, it's more than just words. There's a difference in being set free and made free.
There's a difference in being set free and born free. Hello? You see, being set free means he was in prison and now God opened the doors and set you loose. Being made free is a process. He took the old prison that was in your mind and took the chains off of you and let you become to learn the process of what true freedom really is. And when you get those convictions, you will die for them. That's convictions. There's a tape of a lecture by David Gibbs, he's the attorney I always talk about. He specializes in representing religious parents and churches who have been sued by the state, city, or county, school board for neglecting their children's education and social development. The cause of sometimes these suits have usually been parents at homeschooling. They put their children in Christian school or homeschool, talking about a public school, and the state feels like they own your kids. You know, because they give you a check at the end of every year called income tax. You have a social security number, they belong to the state. No, they're my kids. You didn't birth my birth. I made them free, not you. Whatever country I live in, they're still my kids. So this lecture consists of instructions regarding these parents, what they can expect in the way of cross-examination by an attorney or judge should they be taken to court. They need this final instruction because the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that a person's religious convictions are protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. But one's religious preferences are not protected. It's got to be a conviction. Look at these guidelines. Fortunately, the Supreme Court did not leave the courts without any guidelines to determine whether a person has a religious preference or a conviction. They give them exact guidelines. In fact, the court spelled them out so clearly, we urgently need to evaluate ourselves against these guidelines. These definitions were sport. When an Amish farmer, because he was against his religious convictions, he refused to send his kids to the Wisconsin public school system. Wisconsin sued him, not once, but twice. Both times he lost. He was now facing jail and possibly the loss of his children. See, when a crooked society starts getting crooked, they don't care what they do to you. They'll take your kids from you and put you in jail so some other parent in a foster home will raise them to be aliens and put them in the public school system where they raise aliens. So they sued him. Finally appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. This man I was talking about, Mr. Gibbs, this lawyer, began to represent him, David Gibbs. And he told him, listen, you have to be careful. Because this was his court, as his last report was, he was told the First Amendment protected his religious convictions. And Mr. Gibbs came along and said, you know what? You got to make sure they're not preferences and they're convictions. In this 1972 decision, the court established the guidelines against which similar and subsequent cases would be judged and are still today. Before giving these guidelines, the court laid down two principles regarding a person who claimed to hold religious beliefs. True biblical principles. They are helpful in understanding whether one really has these convictions or not, or whether they're a preference. First, in 1 Peter 3:15, first the court stated that one cannot hold a belief unless one can somehow describe that belief. You got to first know how to describe it. 1 Peter 3:15. Let's turn there. 1 Peter 3:15. Look at what it says. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Somebody say ready. Always to give an answer to everyone that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready to give an answer? What if somebody come and ask you, do you believe you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved? What's your answer, Daniel?
Yes.
It is? Why?
Because it's my salvation.
Where's that? So you can't say, well, because my preacher believes it. Where's that you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved?
That
people said, repent of my baptism, when you distract you, shall you get the Holy Ghost? Well, where does it say you've got to have to be saved? You was your last Sunday, wasn't you? Acts 4:12. Neither the salvation in any other name. Know these scriptures. I just don't put them up there and drill them into your head for no reason. You want to be able to get an answer. How about another scripture? scripture. In Matthew, what does it say? A man must be finished. Born again. Right? What does it say a few verses over? A man must be born again of the water and Spirit. That's where you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. Or he shall not, the Bible says, enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of earth. You will not enter God's kingdom. Every man is going to face the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not going in the door. Jesus is going to stand and judge him. And Jesus is going to say who can come in and who can't come in. And he's not going to set a standard on that final day. The standard's already been set. It's right there in front of your face. Except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, well, how in the world can this happen? I think that's another book of Acts. Can a man enter again for the second time of his mother's womb? He said, no, man, you think about fleshly things. How about 200 plus millimeters pounds? And, you know, that's not going to work too good. It's almost a little bit him, you know. He said, man, you're thinking fleshly. Being born of the Spirit. Baptism is symbolic of a re-spiritual birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Born again of the water, baptism in Jesus' name. Right? Why? Do you feel like you have to live totally to be saved? I've preached on holiness a long time. People get their clothes all rustled up. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, I don't feel like I'm holy. I'm still trying to get there. But maybe I'm better than what I was 10 years ago. Oh man, I'm working on it. I want to be right. But then you think of the scripture reference to holiness and why we should live holy? Okay. You've been in church a long time. I'm asking the younger ones, Brother Luke, what about you? You ready to get an answer, guys? Amanda? One scripture on why I should live holy. I got two burning my head, just burning me down, The Old Testament. I don't know where it's at, but I can find it. You can speak to your phone. Without holiness. That's just a Skinner.
No man
shall see the Lord. Now that don't mean you're not going to see them physically. You're going to see them when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That means you're not going to get past the door without living holy. Without, that's the Old Testament. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Anybody can think of a New Testament scripture? Brother Billy, how about you? Nothing in the New Testament holiness? Nobody? I gotta get my PowerPoint fired back up, start showing all this stuff and say, read it, until you know it!
Be ye not holy as y'all, as he is holy.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said, be holy, because I am holy. That's red letter.
People just say, oh, well, if it's red letter, you better really read that and understand and believe that. It's Jesus speaking. Jesus said, be holy, because I am holy.
Well, he didn't make a command. What do you need to say? He is the gatekeeper. He is the door. That's what I used to tell preachers when they fuss about Acts 2:38. I said, you know, Peter had the keys, right? You know that? Jesus gave Peter the keys. You know what the keys mean? All of us here have got keys to the church, most all of us. If you don't, I'll give you mine and go beg for one. But, you know, normally you don't have that many keys to your home or the door. In this case, there's only one key, and Jesus said, I have it. And he gave it to Peter. Peter's going to be the guy to open the gates for you. And then you're going to walk out up there and see Jesus. And Jesus said, he let you through. Now it's me. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. We will always talk Peter wrote Acts. They don't know who wrote it now. But whoever wrote it, I'm pretty sure you had the keys. Because he told her, pick a baptizer when he was described as the assistant to the Holy Spirit. You knew Jennifer on the farm. That's Acts 2:38-39 and wrote Acts. Luke what? Luke what? Luke wrote that? There's still controversy on it. It makes no difference. If you ask John, Luke, and James, they all would agree with everything that was written in there. When you go to Romans now, Romans was written to a church. You can't be saved in Romans. You've got to go back to Acts and be saved. Let's go down to Romans Road. Romans Road is for sanctified folk. And we talked about that, call the name of the Lord. Every man to give an answer. I'll ask you something that's controversial in our crazy world today. Why do we believe that a man has to marry a man and not a woman? Bible verse now. It's not your preference.
Can you say that again?
You need a Bible verse. It needs to be more than a preference. It's got to be a conviction. Why do you believe that a man has to marry a man? A man marry a woman. That's what it says backwards. And a man can't legally, in God's eyes, marry a man can't marry a man. Do you know the Bible says two men being in one bed, one taken, the other left, and the rapture takes place? Did you know your Bible says that? I had a friend that to me. I said, "Daddy, what that means?" You know what that means? That's not two homosexuals.
Talks about men, all
mankind. But in that scripture alone, there sometimes we're going through things. I don't do it now. My daughter's married. She used to come 21, 22 years old, but she got married. She's come right in a bit. I got pajamas on. I don't wear shorts. I did. My wife bought me a pair of shorts one time to wear in our house, and I got a little convicted around from family or whatever. We're coming, whatever. We'll see all the knees. So now my pajamas are just as long as this. I do wear a t-shirt around the house. I don't wear them out in public. I just wear it around the house. But I'm decent. But you know, sometimes we're going through things. My son will come in there. My wife's not big. He'll lay down on the side.
Leviticus 18.
Normally, we're going through some things, but Bill, he'll be crying and I'll be crying.
Yeah. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination.
Really? Where's that at?
Leviticus 18 and 22.
What did it say?
1. Thou shalt not lie. Let any of thy seed pass through the fire. That's a Moloch. And
no,
thou shalt not lie with mankind.
Man shall not lie with mankind.
One kind.
That's a different kind of life.
Yep. It's an abomination.
It's an abomination. Let's talk about sex. Hello? That's what the Bible said.
And thou shalt not lie with
He didn't people. Say it was a sin. He would have said it was an abomination.
And you're not supposed to lie with
people. When you get to that place, there's a turning in things that happen. And there's a space of repentance. And when you keep on in that direction, something begins to happen in your spirit.
You should not lie with any beast.
Now, this was things they had to address in. Well, see, preacher, that's why I'm trying to tell you our society is not as bad as it used to be. Oh, no, it's worse. But the reason it's worse is because of public media. Because, it's in, like I said, it's on every phone now, see. But, that was just as much wickedness as far as wickedness back then as it was now. There was perversion. There was the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I had a guy in church that called himself a preacher one time that began to argue with me about Sodom and Gomorrah. He no longer with me. Well, God didn't destroy that because of, their homosexuality. God destroyed them because of their hate. I said, and you believe whatever you want to believe. I said, but God sent two angels in there. Because God said, everybody say God said, Lot was righteous. Well, if it's going to scare you to death, it will shake you in your boots. Lot never participated in any of their filthiness. Now, Lot was a judge in the gate of the city. But Lot's problem was with Billy, he stayed too long. His kids started growing up in this environment. I believe he was the one righteous judge in all of the city, the only one. But man, I can't go back to Uncle Abraham's house. I'll be a failure. Lot had cows and flocks, and God was blessing him, and they all grew exponentially, and now, there was conflict between the flocks and the herds. Now I believe Lot had none of that. He sold all of that and turned it into gold and silver and went to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and lived there and lived wealthy. Man, that's like living in Las Vegas. Not on your life.
I think God was sensitive.
If I go, let me tell you something right now. You know God's called me, Brother Billy, and I'm saying, God, please. I don't want to leave my kids and my grandkids. There's no way I'd take them to a place like that. God would have to call me. And thank God, God's probably called somebody there. But I guarantee that preacher ain't just now going down through the strip and going, living the pretty lights, kids! You know why? Because they pass out cards right on the streets for illegal prostitution. Right on the streets. Well, that preacher wasn't a pastor. He went there and he went more than once. began to tell me this stuff. And as he went back a few more times, I thought, something's wrong. And it was. He fell.
Yeah.
He wasn't going for church. He was going for business. I'm like, you know what? I love y'all, but let's have a Zoom meeting or something. Because I ain't even want to go to no city that's called the city of sin.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, after a while, there was things for the Billy. There was convictions that probably kind of turned into some preferences. And now the angel is there. Oh, listen to this. Lot did that go. And Lot grabbed his wife. He had to have more than $2 because he had sons in laws. But the problem was, Lot had stayed so long that his sons in laws wouldn't even believe what Lot said. No, there was angels at Daddy's house. And Daddy said, we got to go. You know who left the sea? $2 at least. He grabbed the two virgin girls and his wife, and they're gone. And I believe, and this is my story and how I just, it's just the way I feel about it, okay? It's not heaven or hell. But I believe, Brother Billy, that Mama heard them girls screaming while she turned around. Mama! As the fireballs begin to fall. Mama, I'm coming! No, it's too late now, honey. You bleed your husbands. Oh, Daddy. When he said the fire's coming, these angels said, don't you turn around. We sang that song, Soft to Her. She turned around. And God made her a memorial that still is preached about and sung about today. But why did you sing so long? You didn't realize the cost. I'm telling you right now, they could offer me $1 million to move out of this city. Preacher, you're crazy. I would move for $50 million. You see, the idea is there's it's conviction, Brother Billy. God called me here.
Right.
If I would leave when I was broke, my God won't want to leave when I was rich. You've got to have a conviction.
Yes.
I'm here, God, because you called me. And I can't leave until you call me out of here. My daddy put that in me. What? Through the court does not ask for an elegant explanation. You got to be ready to describe what you believe. Highly organized and systematic testimonies, they don't care as what a teacher would give. But they will not accept hunches or feelings or, it seems to me, testimony. It's got to be matter of fact. You should be, when I was a teenager, why do you believe this way, y'all? Daddy taught me that way. Daddy taught me that way. You see, I've had to go through this holiness thing, but Billy, I've had to realize, hey, I've got to have it for me. What I think is acceptable. I had an elder come in. I let him preach for me from out of town. Really didn't know, but I called around. Hey, he's a good guy. Let him preach for you. But he didn't have a child, you know. And he preached for me after church. He said, only he dies. And in the back of my little rat racing on my brain, going, oh God, what am I going to do with this? I don't know. What's wrong with that? He said, well, we don't let the women vote wear necklaces, you know. And then we got a necktie. The scripture, is any scripture popping in your mind? What did he say? But
gold and silver.
He said, it's a New Testament, don't be adorned with gold and silver. That scripture, I think it's in Timothy, popped in my head. Go, and I said, Elder, I think it's okay for a woman to wear a scarf.
There you go.
Neck scarf. I think that's okay. The Bible. That's the Bible. Well, I didn't have the answer, but God gave it to me. Bible condemns the wearing of gold and silver, costly array. Well, anything can be. What used to have a guy? I liked him all right. He was up there. Everything was always, you know. Well, anything can be a god. Sure, it can. Your kids can be a god. That's stop you from having kids. Don't let them become a god unto you. But the Bible says, don't yourself. Elder Gifford, boy, Donald Gifford, he was tough. One time he's preaching, got in that scripture, and Brother Billy pulled his little glasses off and had gold rimmed eyeglasses on. Let him down, so I'm going to pick them up again. From now on, he bought plastic and wood. Really? It don't have to be like that. If you get a little excessive, you know, this ain't 14 carat. No, I don't know. You see that right there? You know where that come from? Saks Fifth Avenue. Never been in the store. Just know about it. You know where that come from? Sam's World. It's called Walmart. $12.95. Oh, we got wore out. Got to ready to get an answer. Hey, Luke, your kids are going to be teenagers after a while. You're probably seeing a little bit now, but you're going to see some after a while. They'll come walking out of that little room and skirt way up here. And Daddy will say, where do you think you're going? Well, it's Sunday, Daddy. You like my new dress? I'm going to church. You get that room, you get that off. And don't you ever let me catch you over that again. Did your mama buy that for you? You see, my wife didn't buy that stuff. Sometimes my daughter would come and it's way too tight. I'm like, honey, baby, you can't go to church. Let me take a picture of that from the backside. Let you see that. No, you can't. You see, they're teenagers. They want to be accepted and look cool. And it's cool to wear it tight, you know. Then it became cool to wear it loose, you know. Now it became cool to don't wear it at all, you know. So the standards of the world will change. No, honey, that's not what. Listen, we want to represent the cause of Christ. I seen a pastor, a preacher of a big church one time, and that was at a conference, and I thought, oh, good Lord, them pants are so tight when he took off his jacket, he put that back on. I thought his thread in the back was going to bust open. Ooh. I don't want my clothes screaming for mercy in case I have, you know, give a little shout and throw your leg up the wrong way, and now your garments are split and parted. Where in the Bible can you give an answer for what you believe? Let me ask you this. Do you believe you need to come to church?
Yes.
Bible verse?
Don't forsake the
devil. Listen, preacher's wife. Let the kids answer. Bible verse.
You have.
I'm coming to church.
Okay.
Y'all think it. I quote it to you. It's in your head, but it has to reach your mouth. Forsake, I say it all the time, forsake not the assembly. New Testament, of yourselves together, as we see in the latter day approaching. We're getting closer. We need more church, not less church. You know why we come together? Because iron sharpens iron. When you come and sit in this church, you know what you do? You're subjecting yourself to my convictions, my beliefs, my standards, and my rules. You allow me to preach them to you. You pick up the ones you think are really, really need and necessity. You know, this, hey, that's good. That's the Bible. Yeah, that's why I tell you something. This is the way I feel, but that's what the Word says. Because there's a difference. Now, why buy long sleeves? I wear long sleeves with a Billy. That don't mean you can go to heaven with short sleeves. Hello? That's a personal conviction. I've never told anybody to go to heaven wearing short sleeves. Now, ladies, don't come with short sleeves and all bagged up and you see everything about heaven on the north side of whatever, southbound view or whatever it is. No. You want to be holy. You want to be presentable. Right? You want to, when you get to heaven, say, Lord, how do I look today? You know, he might come on Friday night at 12 o'clock to get you. And you might be in your house, folks. Hello? Brother Eddie Watson one time was out fishing. Boat caught on fire. And they're throwing water trying to get the boat put out. And you know what happened? The news camera was right there on I-40. It was just south of it, about a mile. And when they made the 911 call, boat on fire, we need help, we need help. Well, they had life jackets, but the helicopter was like 2 minutes away. The helicopter showed up. It was a news camera. Zoomed right on them. And Brother Eddie Watson's out there with his jacket on. Look just like a preacher. The guy behind him wore a suit fishing. And it made it on the front page of the news. And you know what they said? Two preachers, folks caught on fire, a bell and water.
Because they look like dirty old fishermen. You see? Some of those values and things. You've got to know. You know why? Because you're living your values out to your kids every day. Listen. Yeah. Oh, God help us. What kind of boys, girls, do you want to be the daddies of your children? That's what you need to look at. Don't go to this crazy idea. Well, I'll just give him the old thing. I'll change him. I'll bring him to church and preach him so good. He'll preach him in the altar. God will save him and clean him up. And he'll take him out of prison and out of jail and out of bar rooms. And God will save him. Lord, we were just going to turn him around. Oh, you better watch yourself. I've got personal stories. Personal stories. Of aunts and uncles, Brother Billy, that took that gamble and didn't come out too well. The bad thing about that gamble is 30 years of living with a sinner and kids. Yeah, perfect. That's why the Bible said this scripture. Okay, now, one more, and then we'll be done. We'll start. Daniel, where the Bible does it say that a Christian like yourself should marry a non-Christian? You don't know that's in there? We're going to take you back to school, son. Be ye not. King James Version. Unequally yoked together. What's the rest of it? For light. Hello, light. Not chandeliers, that's what I'm talking about. For light hath no fellowship. They're pulling different directions. The sinner, Brother Billy, is pulling the sinner's way. And the Christian is pulling the Christian's way. And you know what happens? You start having babies. And now we've got a conflict. Yep. Husband's against wife. Wife is against husband. Yeah. Marry a Christian. Well, preacher, have you ever known anybody that married a Christian and it didn't work out? Sure, I have. But that's not rare. Somebody say it's kind of rare. It's kind of rare. That's why you got to fast and pray and say, God, help me. And that boy that goes to church, Lord, let it be more than what his daddy's taught and raised him. Let it be in his heart. And you might want to go ask him some scriptures like I asked some of them the other day. What do you believe you got to do to be saved? Husband, to me? I know you're not saying that, but maybe, you know, they're kind of liking you. Well, let's sit down. We got some things we can talk about before we start dating. How do you feel about the church I go to? Well, I was raised Baptist. Brother Billy was raised Baptist. You know what you found? You found a hard-headed graves girl that was raised on my daddy's church pews. And he put something in her that he couldn't take out. And she pulled him the right way instead of him pulling the wrong way. A lot of times it don't work that way. But let me tell you something. When it comes to truth, remember what was said about truth. You better make sure truth is the first and most important thing in your life. You put God up there above your kids and your husband and wife. If not, when they get teenagers, they'll be like, oh, my daddy, I can go skating on Sunday morning. I got some friends and, you know, and well, maybe I'll take you. I might be a little late. No. It's church time, baby. We're going to go to church. You can go skating on Sunday night. You can go skating on Friday night. You can go skating on Saturday morning. But you can't go skating on Sunday morning. That's where all my friends is going. Well, tell your friends to come to church and bring their roller skates and skate right on in the church and sit down and listen to preaching, and we'll go skate in the church. You see, it's not a preference. It's a conviction. I'll die for my convictions. You'll see it later. The Supreme Court defines the things that are preferences and convictions, because one day we may have to answer.